Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. I thank all of you who have been lifting up my pastor, Pastor Paul, in your prayers. He transitioned last evening, and I would like for you to please keep my pastor, Pastor Jesse Herring, in your prayers, please, as she deals with arranging a funeral for her husband, a great man of God. So we're going to start off this morning in prayer for my pastor as we get ready to move forward in our word today. Heavenly Father God, we come to you asking you to surround Pastor Jesse Herring with your loving wings, O God. Hide her in the cliff of the rock, O God, that she may find warmth in your embrace. For Lord God, you have called Pastor Paul home to be with you, Father God. For your word tells us absent from this earthly body is in your presence, O God. We ask you, Lord God, to embrace him with all the love that comes from you. Your radiance, Lord, may it permeate his spirit. And Lord God, we know that he is with you and in a very much better place. For Lord God, you have called him home to do great things, to fight in the battle. But he fought the great fight, O God, and he finished the race. And I'm believing, Lord, that he had time with you to go into time to speak and talk with you. And, Lord, he was ready to go. So, Father God, we lift up our table of Life Ministries family, asking you to watch over and bless each and every one, especially the children, who were his favorites, who loved him so much because he was the one that picked them up and brought them to church because it was a love relationship with him and the children. And so, God, I pray for our children that you will help them, oh God, deal with the loss of their friend and mentor. And, Lord God, for all of us who have been with him through two churches, and loving him in all the places because he was a great man who loved you, Father, first and loved his wife with everything in him. Lord, you gave him and you gave them 11 years of happiness. And we can only say thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Thank you, Father, for your love. And thank you, Father, for a great man who started with his wife Table of Life Ministries. And Lord God, may we make him proud as we memorialize him. And thank you for the time we had with him, oh God. And Father God, as you lift up my pastor and his family, we ask you, Father God, to give them strength, to let them know that you are God and you are in charge of everything. You're in charge of our living and you're in charge of our transitioning. For you said we will not die. Hallelujah. So we are only transitioned from this life to another. And so, Father, as he sleeps, we ask you to bless him, to watch over him, and to let him know that you are with him and you are with Pastor. And we thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, Father, we ask that you, that this word that comes forth today, that it touches hearts, minds, and spirits, O God. For this is the day that you have made, O God, and we rejoice and are glad in it, knowing that you, Father, are our strength. You, Father, are our Redeemer. And you, Father, are the only one that knows our day and time that we will transition. And we thank you, Father, for the time we have on this earth and that you continue watching over your children and guiding us in the direction that we should go, that we will walk
in righteousness, that we will walk in faith, that we walk in hope of a future, and that we will love each other, Lord God, because you said, with all these things, faith, hope, and love, the greatest is love. And as we spoke on yesterday about loving you, Father God, and loving each other, the two greatest commandments, to love you and to love each other. So, Father God, in love, I lift up this word, lift up my pastor, lift up my Pastor Paul's family, especially Mother Hallie, Lord God. I ask you to watch over her and to bless her and to give her strength. In Jesus' name I pray, believing and trusting in you, Lord, that all things are working for our good. Amen. Giving honor to God, for he is the source of our strength. And thanking all the prayer warriors of the Table of Life Ministries for just being mighty men and women of God who lift up and who have lifted up our pastor and Pastor Paul. God heard your prayers and took him to be with him in his loving wings to transition into where we want to go one day, in the presence of God. So thanking God this morning for each and every one of you, and asking you to please continue praying for the Table of Life Ministries family who are in grief, but also in celebration, because we know that we celebrate transition. We celebrate homegoings, because we are knowing that our pastor loved God and God loved him because he was his favorite. Hallelujah. Thanking God for all things good and perfect. And we also thank him for the good things, the bad things, and the ugly things, because everything helps us to be stronger, helps us to be wiser, and helps us to be better. In Jesus' name, I lift each and every one of you up as well. So get out your Bibles, because that's what we do. We read the Word of God. And this morning we are in Exodus chapter 25 through chapter 26, verse 37. We will also be in Psalms chapter 19, verses 7 through 14. And as you all know, we speak this. I speak it most days. I did not speak it all this morning, but parts of it, which is Psalms 19 and 14. Which we all know is that word, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thanking God for that word this morning, for he is our strength and he is our redeemer. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Father God, for hearing the words of our mouth and the meditations of our hearts. Proverbs 6 and 32 through verse 35. And our title is coming out of Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 28 this morning. And it's a combination title this morning because there's just so much in this word. But the what God gave me, what he's not there, do not go out. And you'll understand the title as we get into the lesson. He's not there. Do not go out. So we will know what that is about when we get to that, to the New Testament. And because we are in a day of so much falseness, Insta everything, you know, Instagram, TikTok, everybody trying to be on this kind of, Facebook Live, and you know, we go over and we're trying to get on YouTube and we're trying to get on everything and understand that so many lies and distortions can come from these social media platforms. And when we talk about Jesus, there's going to be, and he's already told us in his word, which we will be talking about today, that there will be many false prophets that will come. There will be many who claim to be Jesus, but we all, as men and women of God, because we study and meditate on God's word every day, we know he is not going to be in the north, he's not going to be in the south, he's not going to be in the east, and he's not going to be in the west. All we got to do is look up, and you'll know when he comes, because he will make his presence known. And it won't be somebody out in the desert. It won't be somebody in the city. It won't be somebody on some desert island. It won't be any of those things. And it won't be somebody on YouTube or Facebook or Instagram or TikTok claiming to be Jesus. Don't go out there. Come on now. We got to know our word and we got to study it. It is so important in this day and age that we got to know the word of God. Because we got to stand on it and trust in it and believe it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for this word this morning. And it's chapter 25 of Exodus, and it says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering from everyone who gives it willingly. Did y'all catch that? Willingly. Not begrudging, not, I got to pay my tithes. Goodness. Now I know I got to be a pay, but I guess I got to pay my tithes. I'm willing. Tithing is not from your heart. What did he say? Who gives it willingly. With his heart you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take from them. Gold, silver, and bronze. Blue, purple, and scarlet thread. Fine linen and goat's hair. Ram skins dyed red, badger skins and acacia wood, oil for the light and spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them according to all that I show you. That is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings. Just so you shall make it. And they shall make an ark of acacia wood. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, 1.5 cubits its width, and 1.5 cubits its height. And you shall overlay it with pure gold. Inside and out you shall overlay it, and shall make on it a molding of gold all around. You shall cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in its 4 corners. 2 rings shall be on one side and 2 rings on the other side. And you shall make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. You shall put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark, that the ark may be carried by them. The poles shall be in the rings of the ark, and they shall not be taken from it. And you shall put into the ark the testimony which I will give you. You shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, and 1.5 cubits its width. And you shall make 2 cherubims of gold of hammered work. You shall make them at the 2 ends of the mercy seat. Make 1 cherub at one end and the other cherub at the other end. You shall make the cherub at the 2 ends of it, of one piece with the mercy seat. And the cherub shall stretch out their wings above covering the mercy seat with their wings, and they shall face one another. The faces of the cherubim shall be toward the mercy seat. You shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testament that I will give you. And there I will meet with you, and I will speak with you from the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubims, which are on the ark of the testimony above everything, which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel. You shall also make a tabernacle of acacia wood. 2 cubits shall be its length, and 1 cubit its width, and 1.5 cubits its height. And you shall overlay it with pure gold, and make a molding of gold all around. You shall make it for a frame of the head, hand breadth all around. And you shall make a gold molding for the frame all around. And you shall make for it 4 rings of gold, and put the rings on the 4 corners that are at its 4 legs. The ring shall be closed to the frame as holders for the poles to bear the table, and you shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold that the table may be carried with them. You shall make its dishes, its pans, its pitchers, and its bowls for pouring. You shall make them of pure gold, and you shall set the showbread on the table before me always. You shall also make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand shall be of hammered work, its shaft, its branches, its bowls, its ornamental knobs, and flowers shall be of one piece. And six branches shall come out of its side, three branches of the lampstand out of one side, and three branches of the lampstand out of the other side. Three bowls shall be made like almond blossoms on one branch with an ornamental knob and a flower, and three bowls made like almond blossoms on the other branch with an ornamental knob and a flower. And so for the six branches that come out of the lampstand, on the lampstand itself, four bowls shall be made like almond blossoms, each with its ornamental knob and flower. And there shall be a knob under the first two branches of the same, a knob under the second two branches of the same, and a knob under the third two branches of the same, according to the six branches then from the lampstand. Their knobs and their branches shall be of one piece. All of it shall be one hammered piece of pure gold. You shall make seven lamps for it, and they shall arrange its lamps so that they give light in front of it, and its wick trimmers, and their trays shall be of pure gold. It shall be made of a talent of pure gold. With all these essential utensils, and see to it that you make them according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. God had everything planned out, down to the utensils. Come on now. Don't tell us what God cannot do. Planned out to the utensils. Chapter 26 of Exodus. It says, moreover, you shall make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine woven linen and blue, purple, and scarlet thread. With artistic designs of cherubim, you shall weave them. The length of each curtain shall be 28 cubits, and the width of each curtain 4 cubits, and each one of the curtains shall have the same measurement. 5 curtains shall be coupled to one another. The other 4 curtains shall be coupled to one another, and you shall make loops of blue yarn on the edge of the curtain on the selvage of one seat. And likewise you shall do on the other edge of the other curtain on the second set. 50 loops you shall make in the one curtain, and 50 loops you shall make on the edge of the curtain, that is, on the edge of the second set, that the loops may be clasped to one another. And you shall make 50 clasps of gold, and couple the curtain together with the clasps, so that it may be one tabernacle. Everything precise. You shall also make curtains of goat's hair to be a tent over the tabernacle. You shall make 11 curtains. The length of each curtain shall be 30 cubits, and the width of each curtain 4 cubits, and the 11 curtains shall also have the same measurements. And you shall couple 5 curtains by themselves, and 6 curtains by themselves, and you shall double over the 6th curtain at the forefront of the tent. You shall make 50 loops on the edge of the curtain that is outermost in one set, and 50 loops on the edge of the curtain of the second set. And you shall make 50 bronze clasps, but the clasps into the loops, and couple the tent together, that it may be one. The remnant that remains of the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that remains, shall hang over the back of the tabernacle, and a cubic on one side and a cubic on the other side of what remains of the length of the curtains of the tent shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle, on this side and on that side to cover it. You shall also make a covering of ram skin dyed red for the tent, and a covering of badger skins above that. And for the tabernacle, you shall make the boards of acacia wood, standing upright. 10 cubits shall be the length of a board, and 1.5 cubits shall be the width of each board. 2 tenors shall be in each board for binding one to another. Thus you shall make for all the boards of the tabernacle. And you shall make the boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards for the south side. You shall make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under each of the boards for its 2 tenons. And for the second side of the tabernacle, the north side, there shall be 20 boards and their 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under each of the boards. For the far side of the tabernacle westward, you shall make 6 boards, and you shall also make 2 boards for the 2 back corners of the tabernacle. They shall be coupled together at the bottom, and they shall be coupled together at the top by 1 ring. Thus it shall be for both of them. They shall be for the 2 corners. So there shall be 8 boards with their sockets of silver, 16 sockets, 2 sockets under each of the boards. And you shall make bars of acacia wood, 5 for the boards on one side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards on the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the side of the tabernacle. For the far side westward, the middle bar shall pass through the midst of the boards from end to end. You shall overlay the boards with gold, make their rings of gold as holders for the bars, and overlay the bars with gold. You shall rise up the tabernacle according to its pattern, which you were shown on the mountain. You shall make a veil woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen. It shall be woven with an artistic design of cherubim. You shall hang it upon the 4 pillars of the acacia wood, overlaid with gold. Their hook shall be gold upon 4 sockets of silver, and you shall hang the veil from the clasp. Then you shall bring the ark of the testimony in there behind the veil. The veil shall be a divider for you between the holy place and the most holy. You shall put the mercy seat upon the ark of the testimony in the most holy. You shall set the table outside the veil and the lampstand across from the table on the side of the tabernacle toward the south, and you shall put the table on the north side. You shall make a screen for the door of the tabernacle, woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen made by a weaver. And you shall make for the screen 5 pillars of acacia wood, and overlay them with gold. Their hooks shall be gold, and you shall cast 5 sockets of bronze for them. Everything precise, down to the sockets, down to everything dealing with how to hang it, what color it needs to be. God gave everything that was needed, because that's how God works. He is precise, and he does not play. This is how I want it to be done, and this is how it had to be done. Moses did not say, well, you know, we won't put 50 on this, that we'll just put 49. No, whatever God said to do, that's what he did. And that's what we have to do. Whatever the Lord says to do, we got to do it. We got to do what God says do. So many times we want to kind of do a little bit, but don't want to do the whole thing. When God gives you an assignment, you got to do your assignment. And you do it to the best of your ability. But you do it by God's specifications. Hallelujah. We thank God this morning for giving us a word, for giving us instruction. Because so many times we have no idea what we're doing, how we're doing it, or why we're doing it. God gave Moses everything he needed, how to do it, why he did it, and exact precision on everything. And as we continue with some life lessons from this Exodus word this morning, in Exodus 25 and 2 says, from everyone who gives it willingly, that's that word, willingly, from his heart, you shall take my offering. But the thing is, willingly, not begrudgingly, not, here I go again, all they do is ask for money. No, willingly, when we willingly do what we do for God, we don't worry about anything else. You give God 100%. You give God his 10%. You do whatever you're asked to do, thanking God all the time. And it says this kind of offering God most desires from us is a willing one given out of a grateful heart. But even when we give in this joyful way, we can never outgive God. You can never outgive God. And when we go over to life questions, the mercy seat. Once a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would enter in behind the veil of the Holy of Holies and stand before God. On that day, he would sprinkle blood on the mercy seat in order to receive forgiveness for the sins of the community. It was there that the Shekinah glory, or presence of God, would rest between the golden figures of two cherubims, which were a kind of angel. Only one man could be in the presence of God in only one day a year. One man once a year. And by the time Jesus walked on the earth, it had been hundreds of years since the Shekinah glory of God had been seen in the temple. The average Israelite was not accustomed to being in the presence of God. Did you catch that? They were not used to being in the presence of God. So wonder they didn't want Jesus around, giving them a what for and a why. Because they had never been in the presence of the Father like their ancestors were. And because they were not right with God. And this we continue, says, yet imagine the excitement and glory on the Day of Atonement when God's presence would dwell between the two angels. In Exodus 25:22, God says, there I will meet with you and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim, which are on the ark of the testimony, about everything which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel. It was there on the mercy seat, between the two angels above the ark of the covenant, that God showed himself merciful in forgiving sin. God met with the high priest, spoke with him, and the high priest had the privilege of worshiping God and finding guidance. Now, fast forward to 3 days after their crucifixion, it was very early in the morning, and Mary Magdalene and some of the other women had traveled to Jesus' tomb out of love and devotion, John 20:11-12, tells us, Mary stood outside the tomb weeping, and she wept. She stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the foot, where the body of Jesus had lain. Though Mary did not realize it at the time, what she was seeing was the wondrous fulfillment of the Old Testament mercy seat. The glory of God shone between those two angels. Only God's Shekinah glory was now being revealed to a priest with an offering, rather, and it was being shown to a woman with a broken heart. Whoa, Jesus, thank you, God. Yet, why would God put the mercy seat in the tomb? The interesting thing is that the mercy seat was the cover of the Ark of the Covenant. The word for ark in the Hebrew is aron, which means coffin. God's glory appeared in the Old Testament above a coffin, and now through Christ, God's great victory had likewise appeared over the tomb to signify his mercy over death. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus had already become our high priest. He had already made our atonement offering in Hebrews 9:23-28. The veil of the Holy of Holies had been torn in two, and we were no longer separated from the presence of God. Hebrews 10:19-23. The forgiveness, the guidance, and the very presence of God that had previously been accessible to only one man or one day a year had been made available to all of us for all eternity. No matter what you've done, no matter what sin you've committed, the mercy seat is available for your forgiveness. No matter what counsel you need, no matter why you need direction, the mercy seat is available to give you guidance. No matter what the tomb, No matter what hope or promise has died to you, the mercy seat is available to you, and the glory of God will shine on your situation. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You may not see it yet, but the victory is yours. Jesus Christ has become your mercy seat. He has opened the way so that the Shekinah glory of God can illuminate your life in every circumstance. So what do you do with this great access to the mercy seat? Hebrews 1:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Ooh, Jesus, thank you. Therefore, enter in, friend, and rejoice in the glory of God. Thank you, Dr. Stanley, for such a enlightening word on the mercy seat. Hallelujah. We are so blessed, blessed beyond measure, to have this word that we are studying. Psalms chapter 19, verses 7 through 14. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant and I've lost my spot here. Okay, excuse me, family. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Come on now. God knows everything about us. He knows our good. He knows our bad. He knows our what's out there and what's not. He knows our secret faults. Come on now. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Come on now. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Can y'all say that with me? O Lord, and for the Holy Spirit, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let the church say amen this morning. Hallelujah. Let this body of believers say amen this morning. Hallelujah. I'm grateful. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you, Father, for a do-over. And, Lord God, may today be better than yesterday. Why? Because you are in it. Thank you, God. Proverbs 6, 30, verses 32 through 35. Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. Can y'all check that? Somebody committing adultery, I hope you're listening. This is what the word of God says, not what Pastor Bridget says, not what anyone says, but God's word. Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. And that's not just a man to a woman, but a woman to a man. A woman who commits adultery with a married man, the same thing. You're destroying your soul. Wounds and dishonor he will get, and his reproach will not be wiped away. For jealousy is a husband's fury. It's a wife's fury as well. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will accept no recompense, nor will he be appraised through you, appeased through you, though you give many gifts. The Lord will not be appeased by your gifts or your sacrifice or anything. We got to do what's right. Marriage bed is a sanctified bed. It's between a loving couple, a man and a wife. And God is expecting that of us. Adultery is not from God. You know, I've heard so many times folks talk about stuff like, oh, well, that's my future husband. How can somebody be your future husband when they already have a wife? Well, I know I'm his good thing. How are you his good thing when he already has a wife? Same thing. How can you, a woman, want to mess around with a married man? Or a married man with a married woman? Separated don't mean divorced. And until somebody is divorced, you need to keep your distance. Because God is in charge of that. You know, don't play with God, because God is not going to play with you. Hallelujah. We got to stop, take a minute. Because adultery is one of them things in the top 10. I'm grateful. I'm thankful and I'm blessed that I had a faithful husband for 32 years. I'm grateful for that. Wasn't no fooling around in it. Not that there was not women that tried, because there were. Used to help him clean his car for inspection, his squad car, and found a business card because this one attorney thought that she could show some cleavage and that, you know, he would let her go. And he did not. He went to court, and she got convicted, and she cussed him out. And he just, and then told him that, oh, well, your wife must be such and such. And he said, no, my wife is my wife. And I love my wife, and I'm not interested in anything else. And kept it moving. Left her standing there, cleavage and all. Come on now, we can't play with that. You know, you want a faithful husband. You want a faithful wife. When what God brings together, no man can tear asunder. But that little line, what God brings together. Everybody that is together may not supposed to be together. Because they're not equally yoked. God also wants you to be equally yoked with whoever he partners you with. We got to trust God. But if we get into our Matthew word today, it's Jesus speaking. Because Jesus is trying to give us warning that there will be counterfeits. There will be counterfeits in everything, and there will be even counterfeit him. False teachers, false prophets, those that will speak that is not what the word of God says. And you got to be willing to stand up and say, that's not what the word says. That's not what God's word says. And go to the word. Because God will give you an understanding and discernment. He loves you like that. And that's what we ask for, Lord. Give me discernment when I hear your word spoken. Help me to understand if that person is from you or is it just somebody talking in the flesh, doing nothing. We got to stop and take a minute. And the word of God says in Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 28, then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceive you. And that's for us too. We're going to read that again. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you are not troubled. Did you hear that? You know, we're hearing rumors of war right now between Russia and Ukraine. Jesus already told us, don't let that get you down. What did he say? See that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet.
Did y'all catch that? But nations will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famine, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. So are we in the beginning of sorrows? Because so many of these things are happening now. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. For my name's sake. And then he tells us in verse 10, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Seems like we're going through that right now. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many right now. Ooh, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Happening right now. But he who endures to the end shall be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies. And in those days, one more time. And pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. As many know, we have had a winter freeze. It is cold today. It is cold. It's cold and snowy. We had blizzard weather, it seems like, last week. The snow is not melting because only in small places where the sun can hit it. But in other places, the snow is just as big and tall as it was last week because it's cold outside. And you don't want to have to deal with stuff in the wintertime. And he tells us, and pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, not ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elders and those, and for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. I'm going to read that again, verse 22. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. And then it goes on to tell us in verse 23, then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ. Hey, y'all, he's over here. He's down in Florida. He's over in Africa. Oh, wait, he's in Israel. He's over here. What does the Word of God tell us? Do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect, meaning us Christians. There will be those that will come, sheep's clothing all over, nothing but ravenous wolves, ready to devour your faith. And this is what Jesus tells us. See, I have told you beforehand. He says, I'm giving you a warning. Be careful, because they're coming. False Christ, spirit of Antichrist is coming. Don't fall for the bells and the whistles. Wait on the Lord. I say wait. And then it gives us this word. It says, therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner room, do not believe it. But as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. The Lord has given us a word that don't go. He's not there. Don't believe the hype. Believe in the word of God spoken by Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The word of God says this in our life lessons from Matthew chapter 24. And it says this, many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And that Stanley tells us, and it's right on point. There have always been deceivers in the church, leading people away from a relationship with Christ and into religious bondage. But Jesus said, as the time nears for his return, such deception, will markedly increase. So we got to be careful of the counterfeits, because they are out there and they are coming even more. With, like I said, you got the TikTok, you got the YouTube, you got the Instagram, you got the Facebook Live, you got everybody trying to get 2 minutes of fame, and you got a whole lot of false prophets out there, false teachers, false preachers, false everything, trying to get what they call easy money. Come on now, because Christians are generous, and they love easy money. Be careful who you listen to. Watch as well as pray. And this is our last word for this morning in Matthew 24 and 14. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. God will not wind down human history. God is in charge. God will not wind down human history until the whole world has had the opportunity to hear the good news about Jesus Christ. His amazing patience leads to our rich salvation. His word is going all over the world. God's word has got to get out. Whatever you're doing, take a minute and read your word. It's so important. It is your blueprint for life. And that is all I have this morning. But I say this again, Lord God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. And before we get out of here, as always, a word from our sister in Christ. And if it's anyone that has a word that God has given you, please push the number 1 on your phone and your line will be opened. And a word this morning from Sister Carolyn is this. Even though you're not where you want to be, thank God that you're not where you used to be. Keep making the journey till you arrive. There's a blessing in the pressing. Have a motivated Monday, family. And again, if there's anyone that has a word that would like to speak, please push the number 1 on your phone and your line will be open. If there is not, we are finished for today's word. Please join me, God willing, on tomorrow as we continue in Exodus chapter 27 and 28, verse 43, Psalm chapter 20, verses 1 through 5, Proverbs chapter 7, verses 1 through 7, and Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 through 51. Thank you so very much, family. Have a blessed day. And again, please keep my pastor, Pastor Jesse Herring, in your prayers and in your thoughts. And know that God is in charge of everything. And he gives us strength. He gives us what we need. And he gives us to us so that we can survive. As the song says, I pray for you. You pray for me. I love you. I need you to survive. Thank you so much, family. Have a blessed and glorious day, knowing that God is with you. And remember,
when you out there and you're on Facebook and you're on Instagram and TikTok and YouTube, that if you hear anybody claiming to be the Jesus, he's not there. Do not go out. Don't even look at that mess because it's not him. He is not here. If he, when he comes, you will definitely know it. So keep that in mind. He's not there. Do not go out. Don't go to the desert. Don't go anywhere where somebody is claiming to be Jesus. It's not real. Remember that. Thank you so much, family. That's all I have. Have a blessed and glorious day. For this is a day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing, and we are glad in it. Thanking God for you, and thanking you for joining me this morning as we move forward in God's word. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap. Why is it a wrap, y'all? Because we got to go to work. Go to work for God. And believe me, your reward will be eternity and for eternity. And you will not regret what you do for God.